In-depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Usable news and information for your job. And now, here's Francis Rose.
Welcome to the program for Monday, January 24th, 2011, on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. And both hours of the program today devoted to one of my favorite conversations that I do on this show. I'm fortunate periodically to have the wisdom of former eGov administrators Karen Evans and Mark Foreman on the show, and both of them in studio with me. It's great to see both of you again. And I have a confession to make. I want to do this up front. I was talking to my wife about this conversation over the weekend, and twice in describing it to her, I said, I'm going to have Karen Foreman and Mark Evans on the show. So I want to get it out of my system up front with the hopes that I don't actually say it on by accident during the course of the program today. It's great to see both of you. Karen, we'll talk about what you're up to in a minute, but Mark, you have some news. You're with KPMG, at least for now, but there's something going on there, is there not?
That's right. I'll be leaving a week from now. It's been a terrific organization to be associated with, and since I'm over 50 officially, I guess I'm retiring from KPMG, so
wow.
I'll be totally disassociated, and good firm to be associated with, of course. And I'll be joining a colleague of mine off and on in government reform, jumping into the cloud with a cloud computing initiative around grants filing.
Interesting. Talk a little bit more about what the space is, what the available turf is that you're going to try to claim.
Well, you know, I've spent a long part of my career trying to simplify government, and we go through these cycles. Of course, I think we made a good stab at it with the grants management line of business and e-grants. It's pretty clear with a movement away from that, with the pressures on many state and research organizations, state universities, state government, local government, the budget pressures at the federal level, that a lot of work needs to be done on the closeout process with grants. Now, it's a very paperwork-intensive, very manual-intensive process, and because of the plethora of systems, both on the university and grant recipient side and on the government side, there's a real opportunity to leverage some of the magic of cloud computing to reduce the burden and make things a lot simpler. We look at it as like turbo grants, like TurboTax applied to grants filings, I think it's going to become more and more important, not just because of the Recovery Act, but just because of the fiscal situation.
Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to follow that as you develop that niche and learn more about it, and appreciate you filling us in on that. Karen, how about you? What have you been up to? You're turning into Miss Cybersecurity Personnel People.
It does seem like that, doesn't it? So I am pretty excited. The U.S. Cyber Challenge has launched its high school online competition called Cyber Foundation. So we did a soft launch on Friday. And we have five states that are actively participating. It'll be Texas, California, New York, Rhode Island, and Delaware and Maryland. So we're really excited. It's an online tutorial for teachers and students to participate. And then we have a series of questions that are the competition. So we did that launch. Registration's now available. So you can go out to uscyberchallenge.org.
Mm-hmm.
So that's been a lot of time working on that. I also have my clients, my little consulting business on the side. So the 25-point implementation plan, which I know we're going to talk about cloud computing, all of these activities, there's a lot of things that are happening in this area that make it very exciting. It's
mm-hmm.
an exciting time to be in IT.
It really is, especially if you are predisposed to thinking about constrained budgets and how to. I have to say, if I hear the term more with less one more time, I think I'm just going to jump out the window. Fortunately, we're on the first floor, so I don't have to worry about too much damage. But that seems to be all that anybody's thinking about. Even more so than the technology itself or the solutions is, how am I going to figure out how to spend less money than I have right now?
So my view is there's a lot of money that's spent in this area, and a lot of it is how you leverage it and then how you reform some of the business processes. The opportunity is there to really streamline a lot of these activities that were started during Mark's tenure. I know we worked on it to really consolidate a lot of these things, but now they have to out of necessity. Mm-hmm. Because it's just the money's not going to be there, and the people aren't going to be there because they're going to have to shrink down some of their services.
Mm-hmm. Do you think agencies are grasping how serious potentially the financial issues are going to be over the next 5 years or so, Mark?
Oh, absolutely. I know a number of them are looking at things as severe as furloughs. I think this is a very, very serious time in what's going to happen with the federal budget and operations. I was on the Hill in the 90s, Senate Government Affairs, when we went through this major restructuring the last time. And back then, we had reengineering, you know, Champion Hammard come out with the book, Reengineering the Corporation. And there was a movement afoot that basically said, if you're living in one of these dynamic, either budget constrained or go out of business type crisis, it's time to re-engineer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think about the work that Karen and I obviously have been involved in, and I know a lot of the listeners out there as well. Basic enterprise architecture analysis, where you see as many as 50, 60, 70 systems that appear redundant. And the reason those systems are there is not because somebody said, go build me a benefits administration system. It's because there's that much redundancy in the program. I think that there's a tremendous amount of architectural artifacts that are available at the agency level, at OMB, at GSA, DNI, some of these major hubs, the Business Transformation Agency, where you can get a much more educated and insightful look at how do we respond to this, not by saying, let's just cut one program, but let's take a look at the 50 or so programs that are performing in a policy area. Let's take a look and see which programs are really effective at dealing with that issue,
mm-hmm.
and get rid of the ones that aren't effective. You know, maybe if you have one that's got a good policy possibility or you want some experimentation, you allow for two or three. But, you know, I think Karen will attest, we're looking at 50 or 60 systems to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not because you had 50 or 60 people that wanted to do it. There's that much redundancy in the program.
Yeah. What strikes me about what you're saying, Mark, is that the first response normally from Congress is, how did we get here? And what I think I hear you saying is, doesn't matter how we got here. The fact that we have these systems between when they started and today, 2011, doesn't matter. What matters is, what do we do moving forward? Am I
That's
hearing
right.
you right?
And what data do you have as an analyst, as a budgeteer, to improve the bang for the buck?
Mm-hmm.
I'll use the do more with less. I'll use bang for the buck because I really think that this is about productivity.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a long haul. It's not going to be a 60, 90 day, 120 day shock to the way the government's structured. Winding down some of these legacy programs that were built in the industrial era has been long overdue. And my hope is that certainly the analysis that I've contributed to will be used to help make some of those decisions. But I know there's a lot of meat there
mm-hmm.
for that decision making.
Thinning the herd on some of these legacy systems. What's step one, Karen?
Well, so I think that you see, Mark brought up Congress. I think that you see everybody's kind of they're moving in that direction. And one of the major pieces of legislation that passed in last Congress was the Government Performance Results Modernization Act, which really kind of hits to the point of what Mark is saying, is that you have to really, which ones are performing? So you look across the board, enterprise architecture, all these different initiatives that we had. We know who's in those spaces when you look at the lines of business. We know who is performing those services. But now what this act does is says, okay, which ones are doing it well? How are you measuring that success and what is the outcome? You might find out that 2 to 3 agencies need to participate to get the outcome that Congress intended
mm-hmm.
or that the administration wants to get in a specific program. But the real key to success here, and we started doing it, and the hard part, Mark was bringing this up as well, is you have to shut things down. You have to turn things off. And if we don't turn things off, then we're just going to be layering things on top of it, and it's going to be more complexity and more cost. And that's exactly what you don't want to do. The other piece that I want to bring up is in order to be able to do this, and we can call it reengineering, look at the data or whatever, if you want to really tackle some of these hard programs, like, say, for example, they really want to look across the board and get into entitlements and what the levels of entitlement should be, you're not going to be able to do that data analysis on individuals without IT systems.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, they don't do that. So you can't really figure out what the impact or how to reduce this or how some of this is going to work on entitlement programs unless you have the foundation of what the systems are, what data they have, and then what the impact of those policy decisions would be.
There's a couple things that you've both thrown out there that I want to follow up on when we come back. Mark Forman and Karen Evans, my guests on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
Are you looking for a smarter, simpler way to save? Now you can get the benefits of paper savings bonds without the paper. It's easy to plan for your financial future with Treasury Direct, a secure, convenient web-based system where you can purchase electronic savings bonds and other Treasury securities online 24/7. Build your savings by scheduling recurring purchases directly from your paycheck, checking, or savings account. Change how you save today. Visit treasurydirect.gov to open your free account.
If you only want to lose 5 or 10 vanity pounds, sorry, but we can't help you. But if you seriously want to lose 30 pounds or more because you're worried about health risks like diabetes, high blood pressure, or cholesterol, we can help you. And the trial is free when you call 1-800-600-7477 in the next 5 minutes. We're Sensa, and our revolutionary weight loss solution is clinically proven to help you lose 30 pounds or more. And now, for a limited time, you can try Sensa free for a full 30 days if you call the toll-free number in the next 5 minutes. Sensa is proven through science, but works like magic. In one of the largest weight loss studies of its kind ever conducted, more than 1,400 participants lost over 30 pounds on average with Sensa without changing their diet or exercise routine. If you're serious about losing weight and have more than 30 pounds to lose, call now for your free trial. Call 1-800-600-7477. 1-800-600-7477. That's 1-800-600-7477.
How do you help workers connect the right way, the first time, to speed decision-making and elevate efficiency and productivity? If you're the implementer, how do you implement presence-based mobility strategies while balancing today's communications innovation and productivity? Today's workspaces are wherever you are, throughout the building, across campus, in an airport, or the other side of the world. In part three of a panel discussion series, the Future of Public Sector Workforce and Workspace Sustainability Series on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, panelists will examine how you define, manage, and more importantly, increase collaboration in this environment with a society that is highly dispersed and on at all times. The level of agility you have, the speed of decision-making capability, and the efficiency you need to deliver actionable information to a mobile workforce and population is critical. Quickly getting information in a form you can use, anywhere, anytime. Tune in January 25th at noon. For more information, go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword work.
Hey there, I'm Christopher Dorabek. Here's what we're working on for the Dorabek Insider this afternoon. The best and the brightest in the military, they're leaving. Why? Fascinating insights from a study that has implications all across government. We'll tell you about them. We'll have the Dorabek Insider exit interview with Richard Skinner, the Homeland Security Inspector General, retiring after a long, distinguished career. And your TSP, a board meeting today. We'll find out what happened this afternoon, 3 to 7, on the Dorabek Insider, right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.
Thanks for listening to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Mark Forman and Karen Evans, my guests on the program today. And before the break, we were talking about the issue of legacy systems. And, Mark, you put it in pretty stark terms that some of these are just going to have to go away. And, Karen, you talked about some of the challenges of actually turning some of these systems off. The issue that you brought up, Mark, about the tremendous amount of redundancy that different agencies have, many different systems that do the same thing. Are we in a position to be able to have one agency say to another, I want to do it your way, or I want to get on your system, or any of those kinds of things, or is that still far away, especially when we're thinking about the idea that these agencies aren't going to be given X number of new dollars to do it?
Yeah, you know, I'd say if it's far away mentally, it's just not the way organizations operate. It's not the way the money is appropriated. I think it's really good that, that Vivek has taken it on himself in the 25-point IT plan to figure out what the strategy ought to be for shared services, because that's basically what you're talking about. Look, the overhead or administrative expense associated with programs tends to be 5 to 20%. So if Congress is going to be as dynamic and bold as a lot of the press stories, the implications would be they're looking for a lot more than 5 to 20%. So you can get huge cross-program savings. It takes a lot of analysis. The data are there to do that. But I'm not sure that there's anybody in the Congress that looks at it that way. I mean, I think both Karen and I tried to get them to look at it that way. But, you know, the pressures are different on the Hill. The structure's different on the Hill. So I think the real issue is, going back to what we were discussing before the break, the data are now there to talk about what programs are performing or not. And where they're not, Congress may need to get more data. They may task the agencies to do it, GAO, the IGs. But my sense from being in the Hill in the 90s is that there's an information demand that you wouldn't believe unless you're up there engaging in those debates. So they'll get that insight. And then I would suppose that rather than looking at just how do we keep the programs going more efficiently, they'll look at what's working and what's not first. And then after they figured out what's the net end structure, they'll look at how do we improve the productivity of the infrastructure to support those programs, which I think is where you're going.
Yeah. I'm just not as optimistic as you are, Karen, that some of these systems will actually be turned off at some point if they're not performing up to snuff.
They're going to have to be. I mean, you're not going to be able to sustain both legacy systems and new systems and or changes to them. And so you're either gone. And sometimes it's okay. Sometimes it's okay to run a legacy system because it's performing really well because you don't want to invest in the new technology. And that's okay too, because you may have driven all the efficiency that you can out of that system and it hums right along and there's no sense in doing an upgrade because we don't have the staff that can do an upgrade. And that would be okay too. You're going to have to really take a look at what kind of services do I have to provide. I mean, I haven't really seen Congress rescind any of the requirements on the agencies about services that they need to provide. Mm-hmm. And that's where it becomes really tough. It sounds really good, especially inside the Beltway here, about we're going to cut the number of federal employees or we're going to cut their salary rates and we're going to do all these types of things. When you get outside the Beltway, and you all know I live 100 miles outside the Beltway, it plays well out there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It sounds really good to the constituencies that is happening, because it's really hard to explain why federal government employees are getting paid a certain dollar amount when unemployment is at 9.4%, 9.8%. And so they're going to be challenged. The federal agencies are going to be challenged unless Congress says, okay, this one program's doing really well, meets 80% of our needs, therefore we're investing in this one and we're going to, you know, shut down these other ones. I haven't seen them do that in my lifetime yet. It'd be great if they sunsetted some of these, or if the administration came forward and said, we have a plan on how to do the analysis and the sunset of these programs that aren't performing well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in mass, not a token 5 or 6 or 10.
Right.
You're talking about well over 1,000 programs. And The stark differences in my mind, you have a lot of programs, even on the IT side, with technology and business processes that were largely built in the 70s and 80s. And coming out of the economic crisis and the housing crisis, people don't do the work the same way. We know so much more about decision-making processes and the tools to support those, and transactional processes that can be automated. But the agencies are living with, I think, a dichotomy. On the one hand, these very old, antiquated, maybe they were re-engineered to client service systems, but they're not going to be supportable. The IT companies aren't going to be around to support them.
Mm-hmm. We'll continue on that when we come back from the break. Mark Foreman and Karen Evans with me on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
I'm Chris Maurer, CNBC Business Radio. Stocks are higher. The Dow's up 87 points. The Nasdaq higher by 26. Oil prices are down more than a buck and a half to $86 a barrel. Crude began falling after the Saudi oil minister hinted he may raise output. And that's good news to motorists because pump prices are tied in with crude prices. Gasoline prices have jumped nearly 3 cents a gallon in 2 weeks to $3.11 for regular. For the first time ever, General Motors sold more cars and trucks in China than it did in the U.S. But despite GM's growth overseas, Toyota still owns the title of world's largest automaker. The Apple App Store has hit another milestone, 10 billion downloads. The company awarded the 10 billionth person to download an app a $10,000 gift card to its iTunes store. The winner from Kent in the UK had downloaded a free game app called Paper Glider.
Acura cars and SUVs are engineered to amaze. They're engineered to perform, but most of all, they're engineered to last, which makes buying a certified pre-owned Acura an easy decision. And during the Engineered to Last sales event, you'll find exceptional offers on every certified pre-owned Acura, including 0.9% APR for well-qualified customers. Visit your local Acura dealer or Acura.com today. Offer ends January 31st, 2011. See dealer for details.
At Ally Bank, we don't think it's enough to just offer great rates. That's why we've created a CD with a rate that can get, well, greater. The Ally Raise Your Rate 2-Year CD. You start off with a rate that is consistently among the most competitive in the country. Then you have the option of a one-time increase if our rates go up over the course of the term. When it comes to banking, who wouldn't love that? To learn more about our Raise Your Rate 2-Year CD or to open an account, visit allybank.com. Member FDIC.
A persistent problem facing all government agencies today is disposal of their confidential documents or other sensitive material. The best solution is turning your confidential files into energy. That's right, energy. Get clean and go green with Energy Recovery Operations on Aberdeen Proving Ground in Edgewood, Maryland. Since 1988, Energy Recovery has destroyed all sorts of government confidential records and magnetic media while producing energy. There is complete destruction. Do the green thing. Turn your government confidential records into energy. Go to energyrecoveryonline.com or call 410-679-6200. Your mission is possible. Stop identity theft. Burn your government-sensitive records. Log on to energyrecoveryonline.com or call 410-679-6200. That's energyrecoveryonline.com. This message will self-destruct in 3 seconds. 3, 2, 1.
Meeting mission goals through technology, brought to you by General Dynamics Information Technology.
The Internal Revenue Service has opened its 21st season of electronic filing. The agency has sent reminders to taxpayers saying e-file remains the best way to get fast refunds and to ensure accurate tax returns, particularly following several changes in the tax law. A number of tax deductions and credits were extended for the years 2011 and 2012. To date, the IRS says it's processed over a billion returns through e-files. In 2010, nearly 100 million people, or 70% of taxpayers, used e-file. Commissioners anticipate that more tax return preparers will be using e-file this year. They'll start to process tax returns impacted by December's tax law changes. They say by mid-February, even with that delay, the IRS says e-file remains the fastest option.
General Dynamics Information Technology, delivering the strength of technology to achieve mission success. General Dynamics IT. Visit GDIT.com to learn more.
Save the antibiotics. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Ira Dreyfus with HHS HealthBeat. Antibiotics treat bacterial diseases and sometimes save lives. But can we save antibiotics? Bacteria are evolving ways to evade the effects of some crucial antibiotics. At the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, researcher Lori Hicks says that's partly because doctors and patients have given bacteria too many chances to evolve.
There is a perception that antibiotics are always the answer when we get an infection. Most infections are actually caused by viruses. Prescribing antibiotics for viral infections, like colds, is the most common misuse of these drugs.
Hicks advises using antibiotics for treatment of bacterial infections, but never for colds. Learn more at hhs.gov. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreyfus.
Human Capital Management for Defense is a highly anticipated training conference with more than 300 delegates and key speakers from Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, CPMS, OPM, the Joint Staff, UCOM, NORTHCOM, STRATCOM, DISA, DLA, and OSD. Don't miss this year's event to be held on February 14th through the 17th at the Sheraton National Hotel in Arlington, Virginia. Visit the website hcmdusa.com for more information and to register. Mention code FNR for a $200 discount.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Karen Evans and Mark Foreman, my guests for the program today, talking about all kinds of IT challenges that you and your agency are up against. And we were talking before the break about cross-agency initiatives and opportunities for one agency to learn from another agency as you're retiring legacy systems and so on. And what it basically comes down to, as we talked about a little bit during the break, is a lot of the things that both of you have talked about so far and in other times that you've been on the show make a lot of sense. They seem to be doable, not necessarily simple, complex concepts, but doable and very logical. They make a lot of sense. So it strikes me that some of the challenges to getting some of these things executed and some of the reasons that we're talking about the same things today that we were talking about when you first came on the show together almost a year ago is between the ears. It's a worldview issue or a control issue or some of those kinds of things. Talk about how some of that needs to be navigated either in the realm of the technology that's available to get past some of the objections that folks have or just in ways that mindsets are going to have to change given the realities that we're facing. Mark, you want to go first on
that? Yeah, well, I'd add in one more thing on people's plates, movement to the cloud.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I think most of the agencies that I've seen initially looking at the cloud is how do we virtualize and share infrastructure. The reality of the cloud is a lot of transactional processes, a lot of data that can be centralized are kind of that next level of the enterprise. So when Karen and I were at OMB, and anybody who's worked at OMB, the White House knows, you get a different enterprise view than if you're sitting in an agency. Agency, you're trying to make sure that you've got what you need to get your job done. Sitting in OMB, you see multiple people doing the same thing, all trying to get their job done. There's nothing wrong and nobody should be complained about for trying to do a good job. It's just you see different things the higher you get. And it's really hard to get different agencies to trust each other. And I'm sure OMB still is spending a lot of time in shared initiatives trying to build that trust across agencies. We both have war stories and funny stories that we can talk about where that's occurred. But then you think about where things are going now to the cloud. So it's no longer an interagency agreement, which has some governance difficulties because one agency gets appropriations from one committee and they're authorized by one committee, another agency, another committee, another authorization committee. So the accountability is not so clear. But when both are going to that next level of enterprise in the cloud, then you're talking about contractual and different kinds of control structures. So I think that that actually is going to be the next, the real way that this gets implemented.
Later on, Karen, I want to talk about some of the things that you and I were discussing before we went on the air that have to do with some of the, again, I think it's more mindset or brain power issues associated with the cloud. And I certainly want you to get in on that too, Mark. We'll do that later on in the hour. But what, Is it as clear cut as Mark makes it sound when it comes to let's move to the cloud and that's going to make it a lot easier for agencies to interact with each other?
So one of the reasons why Mark and I worked so well together is because I think he is very logical in how he lays things out. And it makes a lot of sense, just like what you said. The hard part is the people and getting the people engaged because they're being held accountable for certain things. And when they move forward and being held accountable at multiple levels, you have a leader like us, Vivek, at the White House pushing you in one direction. You have your secretary and DepSec pushing you, hopefully, in the same direction. And then you have Congress pushing you as well. And then now you have the American people and all these other types of issues. You've always had them before, but now it's more pronounced because because of the budget situation. And so it makes it difficult. And if you start relying on other people for certain pieces, and it's like a critical path, just think of it as a, you know, basic project management plan. You have certain activities that are on your critical path to achieve a goal. And if you're relying on other people to meet those milestones and they fall behind, you better be really good about how you manage expectations and how you're going up the board with certain things, because if the contractor doesn't have it theirs, you know, or another agency, you needed certain pieces of data from another agency and they haven't done the things that they need to do, it makes it difficult. And so one of the places where you see performance management, cloud management, all these other types of things work really well is with the recovery board and how they put the data together and how they have the services there. But I bet you if you talk to them back in the very beginning when they first put it up, I mean, I listened to your show. It was very painful. Mm-hmm. It was very painful for those guys, but they had a lot of authority behind them too. And that's the key, is who's following up on the cloud first strategy. Mm-hmm. Who's going to make sure that the agencies do those three applications and move them over and that it works well and that it's documented for everybody. That's what OMB is supposed to help the agencies with.
That was going to be my next question. Who should be by the letter of
OMB.
The policy, and who should be?
In my view, it's OMB, that it's the carrot and the stick approach here, right? That OMB says, here's the strategy. Vivek says, here's what I want to do. This is, you know, aligned with the administration's priorities going forward. The CIO Council, and they said they're going to revamp a lot of things with the CIO Council, is the forum where you have input to make it positive. If you do not come through on the things that you're supposed to do, that's where, in my view, OMB comes back with now the stick. And what is the stick? I'm not really sure right now. In my, you know, because you can't do much more if the budget, right, if certain things happen with the budget. But, you know, a lot of the things that happened during the Bush administration was through the scorecard. And there was a lot of public shame and humiliation, you know, from Clay's perspective, but there was a lot of competition. People wanted to do well because of the way the scorecard approach was. Mm-hmm. And so it's my understanding, performance.gov, how that would move out and how some of this administration is going to hold the agencies accountable. That would be the tool that they would use to reward people who do well.
Mm-hmm. I'll add a couple things in there. First of all, I think this is an unusual time for GAO to play a tremendous role as well. I'm really excited to see Gene Dodaro as the new Comptroller General. You know, Gene led the Accounting and Information Management Group, that whole group that did all the great IT reform work when we were working on Clinger Cone.
Mm-hmm.
He's building a great team over there. He's got Dave Fisher coming over who understands these issues. I think this may be a unique time where GAO has the talent and the insights, and they bring that to the Hill, and the Hill hopefully uses them, as well as OMB having the insights. And it really will take a concerted team effort to do the magnitude of change at the magnitude of budget cuts that people are talking about.
Mm-hmm. Gene was on with me a couple of weeks ago and talked about that very issue and how one of the things that he wants to pay an even greater amount of attention to is the high risk list and how some of these projects are developed and really being maybe more of a force is not the term. But you can go back and listen to that at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. Gene probably not in the office, though, today. He's probably sleeping it off because he was watching the Steeler game yesterday. He's got his terrible towel and going crazy with that. Mark Forman and Karen Evans, my guests on In-Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Back for more conversation in just a moment.
Did you know that if you're a woman over 40, you need to work out at least an hour a day just to maintain your current weight? An hour at the gym every day without losing a pound? That's ridiculous. Hi, I'm Steve Bostic, president of Right Size Smoothies, and when I heard that, I was shocked, because I know that if you feed your body right, you can lose weight in no time. That's why I'm going to let anyone who calls today try my weight loss smoothies for 2 full weeks. I'll even personally guarantee that you'll see the weight fall right off. To claim your 2-week trial, call now and receive free shipping and handling. The number is 1-800-400-0861. And now I've made my smoothies even better because I'm going to guarantee the first 100 callers a 2-week weight loss trial. I'll even include free shipping and handling, plus my revolutionary blender bottle, absolutely free. But you have to call 1-800-400-0861. That's 1-800-400-0861.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy?
For freedom.
Freedom of religion.
What America stands for.
Why do I serve in the U.S. Navy? For honor.
Everybody. And watch out for everybody.
Freedom to vote.
Democracy.
Freedom to go outside and play with my kids.
I joined the Navy to serve my country.
Every freedom that we have.
The right to raise our kids in peace.
My little brother.
My wife.
My kids.
Our children's children.
The United States Navy.
It's not for ourselves alone that we serve.
Newsmakers on the Federal Drive with Tom Tamman and Amy Morris.
Patrick Donahoe is Postmaster General of the United States.
Retiree health care benefit money that we have to prepay. If that goes away, we know that between revenue generation and continued efficiency and cost reductions, we can make up the difference and be in the black this year. The loss of first class volume puts a lot of additional cost pressure. We eventually will have to go from 6 to 5 days from a delivery standpoint in order to remain in the black.
Hear the entire interview online, federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.
We're back on In-Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Karen Evans and Mark Forman. I almost did it there, so that's why I had to pause for a minute. Karen Evans and Mark Forman, my guests on In-Depth for the entire program today. Let's go to the 25-point plan for a little bit, because we've been kind of dancing around it with some of references to cloud and so on. And I just want to go through this and more get your thoughts about what you're seeing. And maybe even talk a little bit about if you didn't do it that way or if you didn't get a chance to get to it, why you didn't, based on where you were at any particular time. Part one, achieving operational efficiency, and the 6 points under this one, detailed implementation plans to consolidate 800 data centers, government-wide marketplace for data center availability, cloud first, secure IaaS solutions, commodity services, strategy for shared services. Now, the strategy for shared services development, Mark, fits right into what we've been talking about also, too, it sounds like, because we want to figure out how some agencies can use the same things and not do the same thing 50 different times.
Right. Well, I think if you go back and look, even back to what people affectionately refer to as the Quicksilver Task Force, original e-government task force, you'll see the original strategy for shared services. As Karen said, it's very much about the people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's really good that Vivek has essentially put on his personal shoulders, but really this means, I assume, working with the President's Management Council, getting that agreement on how they're going to reinvigorate the movement to shared services. You know, as I indicated before, the difference now is shared services doesn't necessarily mean across the agency. Shared services is fundamental to understanding cloud computing, that the huge economies of scale we look for in our shared services initiative become even huger, and the costs become a fraction when you move to the cloud. Now, counterpose that with the 800 data center consolidation. I don't know why 800 is right. What I do know is each application, the legacy application in a client-server environment, generally rests on a different stack of hardware and software. And one of the biggest issues we had in moving to shared services was getting that to a common set of a standard environment. So we see things like, I will bet a whole bunch of applications are built in Windows 2003 that may not be FTCC compliant,
right?
You know, so getting everything to move first to a common standard is normally the way that was done. And then you start to see some of the benefits of virtualization.
Mm-hmm.
But we're in an era now where a lot of that software is no longer going to be available as a client server. So having a data center that has five different applications or giving it to five contractors to put in their data center is MoxNet. When you move it into that data center, you still have five different applications, like running five different data centers. It's very expensive, very complicated. What really has to be figured out here is that architecture that allows for sharing and leveraging of those standardized environments, and how close can you get, or can you move it to the cloud?
Mm-hmm. Making those decisions, how close can you get, move it to the cloud, they're complicated by some of the things that we talked about, Karen, before we went on the air, and that is there are a number of different flavors of the cloud that people are figuring out. Okay, I know I need to do it, but now how do I pick amongst the choices do I have? Do I want to build a private cloud? Do I want to go all the way and somewhere in between? Or some of it, some here, and I mean, there's still a whole bunch of choices. It's not as clear cut as we thought maybe it was a year or two ago.
So I would argue that the agencies already have a lot of this analysis, and they're probably all going to send me these emails and kind of shoot darts at my pictures again, is that they already had a lot of this analysis, and whether you call it cloud or whatever you call it, They had the basis for this analysis because we were talking about shared services, and they had to justify why they were maintaining their own data centers. And shared services, and if you look at it, one of the providers out there that really did a good job of offering a private industry solution was CGI Federal, and for financial management, because we weren't, under my tenure, building off of a lot of what Mark is talking about. It wasn't like, let's consolidate across the agencies and we'll consolidate internally first and then move out. We said, okay, that's too much cost to do that step-by-step consolidation. We said, look at an internal agency. Look at what you're doing. Is it core to you? And if it is not, then get a shared service. We don't care whether it's from another government agency or from a private industry, but the OMB is not going to pay for your infrastructure anymore, mm-hmm. period. And so they have this analysis, whether you call it a cloud or whatever you want to call it, you build upon what they already have. Now, can they bring it? They should bring that back out. They probably have more systems now that they've built on top of that since the time that they've done that. But they have it. They can move to a cloud service. And it was either agency, which is what you're now calling, okay, private internally, or it was a public service, which was going out, you know, in this case, private industry, going out to like a CGI or any of the other types of things. IBM was looking to build these types of things because you could not pay for this infrastructure going out there. What was starting to happen toward the end of my tenure, which drove me nuts, was one application, one network. It used to be one application, one server, and you had like five different servers in a data center. They started doing one application, one network because my data is sensitive and I have to, you know, put it off from other people. And we're like, no, because it's the same pipes going to the same user out in the field. You know, they're just, okay, they'll log into a different terminal and they'll do something different, but you're going to the same constituency. Mm-hmm. And you see this a lot in law enforcement, homeland security, and, you know, dare I say, we'll bring up WikiLeaks and the impact of WikiLeaks. But that really is something very simple. That's access control, roles-based access control to data.
Mm-hmm.
And how you build it out, and whether it's residing on SIPRNet or in the cloud, you still have to know the data's there. And who should have access to it, and then how you're going to authenticate them in to get the service.
Yeah, I think we should pick up on where you were going and mentioning financial management
right.
as well. I know this is probably a pendulum that's going to shift back towards the financial management line of business shared services concept. These are highly automatable transactions. Each agency traditionally has said, well, we need our own system because we've got our unique accounting terms, and those are driven by congressional action. So, you know, if that's the case, the ball's back in Congress's court, I would assume, for many of these agencies, to justify the billions spent on agency-unique accounting systems when the commercial industry has moved very rapidly to shared services, largely driven by Sarbanes-Oxley compliance. I think, you know, when people start to look for money and they peel back the onion skin a little bit, they're going to have to ask, do we need such government-unique accounting terminology that we can't take advantage of the standard industry practices around financial transactions and leverage the economies of scale, leverage the systems that are getting people to Sarbanes-Oxley compliance, And, you know, the same for government, the equivalent A-123 compliance. Does each agency need to separately come in compliance? It's not the way the commercial world is doing. They're highly leveraging, and the amount of customization is very minuscule.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably the path that we're going to see in a lot of areas of the government.
Mark Forman and Karen Evans, my guests on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. There's an element not just in these first six on this 25-point plan, but throughout it that I want to talk about when we come back, something that I saw that I want to get your thoughts about when we continue our conversation on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We'll be right back.
A persistent problem facing all government agencies today is disposal of their confidential documents or other sensitive material. The best solution is turning your confidential files into energy. That's right, energy. Get clean and go green with Energy Recovery Operations on Aberdeen Proving Ground in Edgewood, Maryland. Since 1988, Energy Recovery has destroyed all sorts of government confidential records and magnetic media while producing energy. There is complete destruction. Do the green thing. Turn your government confidential records into energy. Go to energyrecoveryonline.com or call 410-679-6200. Your mission is possible. Stop identity theft. Burn your government-sensitive records. Log on to energyrecoveryonline.com or call 410-679-6200. That's energyrecoveryonline.com. This message will self-destruct in 3 seconds. 3, 2, 1.
What role does the Federal Labor Relations Authority play in fostering stable labor management relations? How is Federal Labor Relations Authority revitalizing, reinventing, and reengaging itself? And what does the future hold for the Federal Labor Relations Authority? Join host Michael Keegan next week as he explores these and other questions with his very special guest, Carol Waller-Pope, the chairman of the Federal Labor Relations Authority, FLRA.
We're back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, and Karen Evans and Mark Forman, my guests, and we're talking about the 25-point plan for IT that Vivek Kundra released a short time ago, and you can find it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. And something, a thread that runs through all of these, and I want to get your thoughts about this, folks, is I look at these, and these are all action items. These are all directives. These are not opinions or policies. They're policies, but they're not philosophical. Complete, create, shift, stand up, direct, design. These are all action items. And I wonder what your thoughts are about the idea that these are things that, at least from the position of Vivek saying to the agencies, these are things that are going to get done in one form or another.
Yeah, so my view is that's exactly what it is. It's an action plan. It has the action items in there,
mm-hmm.
and there are also time frames around those action items of when certain things need to be done. And so it is an implementation plan. What gets a little bit, there's an assumption in the plan, and Mark, you can correct me if you've interpreted a little bit differently, that if you do all these things, that you would have reformed IT. So there's an assumption right up front that these are the things that need to happen in order to reform how you use information technology in the government.
Does it strike you as that definitive, the way that it does, Karen, Mark?
Well, I'm I'm a big governance, IT governance guy, and I like the action terms, but we are in a real shifting time in IT governance. Up to now, even when we did the Clean Account Act, we kind of provided for IT as a service. Karen talked a lot about IT as a service during her tenure. But we are really shifting away from buying IT as a capital investment. Now, we as a society, the industry is providing IT as a service, not a capital investment. So you got to figure out the governance structure. This gets back to where we started to. How do you improve the productivity of the program? Not the productivity of the IT spend. This really has to come back to how do we do a better job at the program level? And when you look at the program, I kind of think it was like when I came in 2001. Everybody said we need to get the federal government on the internet, and we showed up and we had over 25,000 websites. We had over 30 million pages on the web. We didn't need to get on the web. We needed to not make it as complicated to deal with the government on the internet as it was in person. So mm-hmm. here too, I believe that what Vivek probably sees or OMBC sees is the agencies are going off and they're buying cloud services. And at the one hand, you got to catalyze that because it is a better financial and productivity model. On the other side, you got to figure out what's the governance structure for that. So, for example, why do you need to have better IT acquisition people? Well, specifications for a client-server project are totally different than the service-level requirements and establishing service-level agreements. And we spend so much in IT as that moves to service, we have to have people who have to understand things like the program's no longer using an application. Shut it off and stop paying the vendor. And on the one hand, we need people educated in how to do that. We don't have that in a lot of systems lifecycle or acquisition shops. On the other hand, what is the standard, the industry standard for a service level requirement for this type of IT as a service? How do we negotiate? How do we even put out the specs to buy IT as a service? And so we're caught in this time shift between the old client server, heavy capital investment, planning and control processes, and moving to buy IT as a service and transition IT. There's a lot of work to be done in laying out that framework. So mm-hmm. I'm a fan of action.
He's excited about the action, isn't he, Karen?
Well, you need to have action to move forward on this. I mean, if you think about this as, so I'm into experiments and assessment frameworks and hypothesis, but, you know, you could get all of these things done and run very efficiently and still not hit the program outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was one of the big things that we always talked about is you could be very efficient and still not hit that result. And so I think it's talking about GAO. GAO recently issued a report saying we've forgotten about some of the efficiencies because everybody was really focused on results and outcomes. And so there's a balance between a certain amount of efficiency that you have to have, which is what this plan is getting to.
Mm-hmm.
And then achieving program outcomes and doing that analysis. And so you have to have both.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the right balance of that going forward?
Let's talk about making that connection when we come back from the break after the top of the hour. Karen Evans and Mark Forman are my guests on Federal News Radio 1500 AM in studio for all of hour number two when we return on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.